Well, good morning. My name is Angelo Rodriguez, and I'm a Bible student at the Cannot Be Hidden College that our church runs. And it's a privilege to be here this morning and a privilege to open the Word of God with you. Let's just bow our heads as we open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, Father, you are so great. And this morning, we invite your presence, Lord. We invite the Holy Spirit, Lord, to fill this place. And Father, may the message uplift you this morning. Lord, may they be your words, Father, for I'm just a tool, Lord. And as we open and share your Bible and your word, we pray that you give us clarity and understanding, Father. And we praise you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning's sermon is entitled, Have You Visited the Great Physician Lately? Have you visited the Great Creator lately? Because it is the same Creator that created the heavens and the earth that heals us when we're sick. It is the same Creator that we turn to when we need Him, not just spiritually, but also when we're suffering from physical illnesses. But friends, how great is our God? Have you ever really just stopped and asked yourself, how great is our God? Have you thought about really how huge is He? Some of the things that He's created, some of the wonders that He's done for us as evidence of His greatness. And this morning, friends, I just want to share with you a couple wonderful things that God has created. I just want to share with you some of the evidences that God has given us of how great He is. And it's when we see that greatness that I just want to share with you that you can see and understand that when we are sick, it is our great God who is our great healer, the one we should turn to. Amen? Amen. Friends, I just want to share with you in simple terms this morning and just start by looking at some of the things that God has created for us, because He's an awesome God and in Him do we find feeling. He is our great physician. Let's start this morning by looking at the greatness of God. How great is our God? Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. And we'll be going through a few texts in our Bible this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to read verse 25 and 26. Just to begin, painting a picture of how great and wonderful our God is. Isaiah chapter 40, reading from verse 25 about the greatness of God's power. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. God is asking, what man is my equal? To whom will you then liken me? Or shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes, verse 26, on high. He's talking about the heavens there. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things, that brings out their host by number. He brings out the heavens, the suns, the moons and stars. That's what he's talking about, the host by number. And he calls each one by their name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one of them faileth. He calls each star by name. Friends, our universe is so huge. And when it comes to measuring our universe, our units of measurement are really no good. The foot, the kilometre, the metre, not going to help you in measuring God's universe. We have to use a ruler that is 9.4 trillion kilometres long. 9.4 trillion kilometres long to measure things in God's universe. Friends, that's how far light travels in a year. Now, the speed of light travels at 186,000 miles per second. I've done the conversion for you, which is 300,000 kilometres in our metric system per second. And in 1 year, light travels the total distance of 9.4 trillion kilometres. Light is so fast It can circle the earth in 1 second, 7 times. That's 21 times just in those 3 clicks that light would have circled the earth. Friends, the galaxy we live in, the Milky Way, is made up of billions of stars. And this is an infrared image of the core of the Milky Way that you see on the screen. And it's just full of stars. Did you know that if we were to count over here, count just one star each second, so we could start maybe down here. It's a little bit, because it's bright, you can't see it too much, but we could, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If we were able to count one star per second, do you know how long it would take us to count the entire stars in our galaxy? It would take 2,500 years to count all the stars in our galaxy. And that's just our galaxy, the Milky Way. Scientists tell us that there are billions of other galaxies like ours out in the known universe. How great is our God, friends? Our God created all this that you see here, and that's just our galaxy. When you look at the beauty of our galaxy, and I love walking out on a beautiful night and just staring up at the sky and just with as far as the naked eye can see, looking at the stars and the wonders that God has created, just looking at its star and just watching it twinkle away. And then when you look at science and what science has to show us about our galaxy, we see beautiful images like this one. And you can't stop, but you can't just stop and ask yourself, what is that? I wonder what that is there. And we've got a bright light over here. What is that? Do you know what it is? I sure enough don't. All these beautiful stars and all these stars around the perimeter. We have absolutely no idea what they are. And it just shows us how wonderful our God is and the hugeness of God that He creates. He's a creator. He creates all these beautiful celestial heavenly stars and planets and galaxies. Now, friends, 440 light years away, so that would be 9.4 trillion kilometres times 440, there's a constellation known as the Pleiades. And that's the Pleiades that you see up there in the screen. Now, the Pleiades it's a beautiful constellation, and it's my favourite. The Pleiades is mentioned several times in Scripture, and it was only when I started reading about it in Scripture that I actually started looking for photos of it, and it is absolutely beautiful. And it reminds me of a conversation when I read about the Pleiades in the Bible. It's mentioned in several places, but there's one in particular in Job 38, where there's a conversation between God and Job, and God is trying to remind Job that God is the one that's mighty, God is the one that is great, and that Job is the one that's small. It's in Job 38, where Job's just finished, I think it's in the earlier chapters, just complaining to God and having a bit of a whinge. And God says to him, Job, remember, I'm the one. I'm the great one. I'm the mighty one. Can you hold the Pleiades in the palm of your hand? And Job kind of looks up and says, no, I can't, Lord. And God is trying to show Job in that chapter that he's so great that he measures the universe by the span of his hand. And it's something that we really don't stop and think about. When you stop and think about that God can measure the universe just in the span of his hand, how wonderful and how great he really is. And it's only when you start to consider some of these wonderful creations that God has done that you really start to ask yourself, and the reality really starts to sink in. When we're ill, when we're sick, when we're in trouble, when we're in some kind of spiritual need, that God is the one we should turn to. God is so great. I mean, He created all of these things. And God is the one, the physician, that we should look towards firstly when we are ill. Our God is so great, friends. Turn with me to Amos chapter 5, verse 8. Amos, in your Bibles, the book of Amos chapter 5, verse 8. Amos is a little book, just after Joel and before the book of Jonah. Amos chapter 5. and verse 8. And we read in verse 8, "Seek him that makes the seven stars," or the Pleiades. In other translations, depending which translation you'll have, it will say the Pleiades. "Seek him that makes the seven stars," or the Pleiades, "and the Orion, and turns the shadow of death in the morning, and makes the day dark with night, that calls the waters of the sea, and pours them out upon the face of the earth. Who is his name? The Lord is his name." And I love the way that text starts with the first two words. The most important part of that verse is "seek him." Friends, the Pleiades is mentioned in Scripture because it's an example of the beautiful work that God has done. And when I look at the Pleiades, it always makes me wonder. God does have a sense of humour, but when you look at the Pleiades, what shape is it in, do you think? It's in a bit of a shape of an arrow, and I can't help thinking that it's God saying, "Heaven's this way, guys. Keep looking. Heaven's this way. Look to me. The heavens and the earth and everything within that we see is evidence that God cares for us." And I think David the psalmist sums it up nicely in Psalms chapter 8, verses 3 to 4. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 to 4. Psalms chapter 8, reading from verse 3 to 4. And it reads, the psalmist speaking, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars that you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him?" What is man that you care for him? Friends, God cares for us. He intimately knows us and wants to get to know us intimately. We read, friends, in Psalms 139:14 that "marvellous are your works, and I am wonderfully made." While we're in Psalms, just turn over to Psalm 139. Psalms 139:14, and we see more evidence of our wonderful Creator. Psalms 139, chapter 14. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are your works that my soul knows right well." And whenever I see that word "fearfully," I've always been able to substitute the word "lovingly" for it. And it just gives it a whole new dimension when you read, "I will praise you, for I am lovingly and wonderfully made. Marvellous are your works, and that your soul knows right well." Friends, this psalm gives us the incredible picture of our physical bodies, how God has made us. We are fearfully, we are lovingly, we are wonderfully made. The body is a unique, marvellous work, and it's one of the most complex organisms in the world. And it's that complexity and uniqueness that speaks volumes about who our Creator is. It just shows us how wonderful God is. Every aspect of our bodies, right down to the microscopic cell, reveals that we are fearfully, lovingly, and wonderfully made. Scientists can't explain things like the eye. We know a little about the eye. We have a bit of an understanding of how it works. But scientists really don't have a good understanding of how the eye actually functions, what actually makes it work. Then there's the brain. Then we've got things like DNA. And just a reminder for this afternoon, I encourage you to come to the afternoon program at 2:30 because Nathan's going to talk a little bit more about our cells in our body. But there are so many things when it comes to this physical body that scientists just can't explain. And friends, as our technology increases, our ability to discover more about the body increases. Year by year, we're discovering more and finding out new things about how this marvelous piece of engineering that we call our body, that God has created, works. And a recent discovery, which we're going to look at this morning, has made many evolutionist scientists, many biologists and chemists that actually believed and taught evolution, have actually changed camps and switched camps over to creation because of this one discovery that's been found, because of their inability to explain what is known as bacteria flagellum. It's a big word, bacteria flagellum. You see, friends, there's a problem for Darwin and his theory of evolution, and that is that every living cell contains many ultra-sophisticated molecular machines. And they're not only ultra-sophisticated, but they are very, very small. And that poses a problem for evolution and for Darwin's theory. Now, bacteria flagellum simply is a tiny, tiny little organism that's found in the cell. And there's a picture of it. Bacteria flagellum looks like this little creature there, but that's actually the rotor, the flagellum. And in every cell, you find, when they've been able to look down with the microscopes, they've found that every little cell is actually like a world in its own self. It's like its own little known universe. And if you have a look at a normal human cell over down the bottom left here, you'll see that it's made up of, you've got your nucleus and mitochondria, many other bits and pieces. And the more they study the human cell, the more they find that it's just an incredible piece of work, and only intelligent design could have created something like this. Now, the cell is microscopic. You can't see it. You've got to look under it. You've got to look at it in a microscope. And as you look deeply into the cell, it doesn't show up here, you find this microscopic bacteria flagellum. And this is what has really stumped a lot of evolutionists, because it is so small that they think, okay, we've got this small organism, and what makes it move is this little tail. Now, here's where the problem lies. This little tail has been labelled nature's outboard motor. Not only is it so small, but they're puzzled by how something so small that resembles an outboard motor on a boat could have been formed. What did it evolve from? It is so small, it is impossible that it could have evolved from anything. If you have a look at the workings here, here's a breakdown. It's got rods, it's got rings, okay, and it's basically designed to do the same thing an outboard motor does on a boat. And this is something that appears in each microscopic cells. And the job of the bacteria flagellum is to travel within the cell, backwards, forwards, up, down, transporting nutrients and bits of information. Now, Charles Darwin himself set the standard when he stated, if it could be demonstrated that any complex organ existed which could not possibly have been formed by numerous successive slight modifications, my theory would absolutely break down. And that's where bacteria flagellum does exactly that, because scientists cannot explain how something that has to be intact, in whole for it to work, could have evolved. Because the question is, what evolved first? This ring here or the rod to make it work? This cannot work. If one of these pieces is missing, it cannot work. And it is just absolutely stumped them, because the cell, okay, they've got arguments where they believe the cell could have evolved from, but this is so small, so ultra-microscopic within the cell doing its function that they've only recently looked into and been able to study, that they say there is just no way that that could have evolved from something. There is nothing, they've hardly been able to find anything smaller than the bacteria flagellum. So friends, the Bible tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So when we get sick, friends, who do we turn to? Do we turn to the great physician? Do you put your trust in him who created you so intricately, so uniquely, the beautiful things like the design, the incredible intelligent design that we see in Bacteriophagellum, the beautiful things that we see in the heaven, such as the Pleiades and the other beautiful constellations. The same God that created this universe, created this body. Friends, when we are suffering from sickness, whether it's the common cold or whether it's cancer, you must turn to God. The same God, friends, that created this, the same God that created that light, whatever it may be in the centre, these lights over here, the same God that created this beautiful universe where we have to use a ruler that's 9.4 trillion kilometres long, created this body, this same body that is so uniquely and beautifully engineered that we still do not fully understand today. Friends, he's the same God that can heal your body, but only if you believe through faith and act through faith, friends. There is more to faith than just believing. Faith involves acting on that belief. We must have faith in a God who is our creator, in a God who designed every single cell in our body. Faith in a God who hears our prayers, friends, when we call out to him. Turn with me to James chapter 5, verse 14. James chapter 5, verse 14. And James chapter 5, verse 14, reading 14 and 15, says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil and in the name of the Lord." And verse 15, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." What shall save the sick? The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Friends, that's one beautiful part when you study health in the Bible. One thing that you'll find is the gospel message and the health message are inseparable. Wherever you see Jesus healing, you'll always see the gospel being preached or the gospel being shown in one place or another. Wherever it talks about sickness or being healed, you'll always find the gospel, forgiveness of sins, the love of Christ, the message to turn towards Christ. I just want to share with you some beautiful quotes that a prophet, Ellen White, has given us on this topic. She writes, "God has given us intelligence. He desires us to make the most of his health-giving blessings. Natural means used in accordance with God's will bring about supernatural results. We ask for a miracle, and the Lord directs the mind to some simple remedy. We are then to cooperate with God, observing the laws of health and life. We are to keep asking in faith for health and strength. We cannot disregard the laws of nature without disregarding the laws of God. We cannot expect the Lord to work a miracle for us while we neglect the simple remedies he has provided for our use, which aptly and opportunely will bring about a miraculous result. Therefore, pray, believe, and work." Friends, can God heal any disease? Can God heal any sickness? Ellen White also tells us, "In him there is a healing balm for every disease." But there's a condition. She writes, "But only as we live in obedience towards his health laws." We see that also in the Bible. Turn with me to Psalms 66:18. It's only when we live in obedience to God's word can God truly heal us. Psalms 66. Verse 18. Actually, we'll start at verse 17 and we'll read through to 20. So Psalm 66, verse 17. We have David speaking where he says, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, for which he has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. How beautiful is that? Blessed be God, because he has not turned away. He hears my prayers, but we also have the condition there in verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Friends, I want to tell you a story about Pam. Now, for those of you who don't know, my wife and I, we've been helping cancer patients for the last 7 to 8 years and showing them and using them how to use God's laws of health to reverse their cancers. And by the grace of God, we've been able to see many, many hundreds of people reverse their cancer by putting God's health laws into practice. We also, when we talk to people, we show them about the wonderful mysteries of nature, how God has given us many things and many vitamins that kill cancer. And one of those is what's called vitamin B17, which is simply derived from and comes from the simple, humble apricot kernel. And I just want to tell you a little bit about Pam's story this morning. Pam was diagnosed with aggressive ovarian cancer. She was contemplating chemotherapy and radiation, but the doctors told her, Pam, your situation, we're sorry. It's a hopeless situation. There's nothing more that we can do for you, and you don't have long to live. So Pam got down on her knees. She didn't know God too well or know of God, but she got down on her knees to God, and she prayed to God for an answer. She prayed to God to show her that if there was something that she could do, or something that she could take, or some act she could perform to show her what she could do to treat her cancer, or how God would treat her cancer, to please show it to her. Now, after this prayer, a few days afterwards, a thought popped into her head and into her mind, and this thought kept plaguing her. This thought kept bothering her because it didn't make sense. She had a thought in her head of apricot seeds. And she couldn't explain it, and she thought for a minute there, am I going crazy? What has apricot seeds got to do with anything? And she just couldn't understand why every day these thoughts were coming into her mind. And one day, she was listening to 2GB. And there was an interview with an American journalist and researcher, renowned researcher, who had written many books over the last 30, 40 years, and he's well known for researching, for the research that he does and researching his topics thoroughly. And he was being interviewed on 2GB about political issues that are happening in the world today. And she was so impressed with the way this man was answering his questions and the way this man had just researched and covered every angle that she thought, wow, I want to learn more about this man. So she went to the library the next day, and his name was Edward G. Griffin. And she went to the library and she did a search on Edward G. Griffin and pulled up a whole bunch of his books because she wanted to know more about the topic that they were speaking about, the political topic they were speaking about that night. And it was in looking through the books that he'd written that a particular book caught her eye. The book was entitled World Without Cancer. And she thought, oh, okay, that's an interesting book, World Without Cancer. Grabbed the book, started reading through it, and she discovered that the book, World Without Cancer, is one of the most well-researched and published books on vitamin B17 and all the scientific research, hundreds of years of history and evidence to show how vitamin B17, derived from apricot kernels, has been shown time and time again by scientists to kill cancer cells and to be an effective treatment against cancer. So from there she jumped on the internet and started searching more information on B17, and that's where she found us, and she made contact with us, and praise the Lord, through that we were able to share God's remedies and God's laws of health and guide her in what God has given us to treat cancer. And praise the Lord, her prayer is being answered. She's well on her way to recovery. Friends, that's just one example of faith. But the importance of faith is believing, but it's also acting. We must act on our faith. It's only when we fail to act on our faith that our faith really is of no use to us. We must act, we must believe, and we must stand for our faith. How many times when we get sick, or when you get sick, do you actually turn to God first? How many times, like Pam, do you fall on your knees and ask God for wisdom and understanding and guidance in your illness? God is giving us simple laws to follow when it comes to health. The same great God that created the bacteria flagellum in our cells, deep down, microscopic cells that are extremely sophisticated. The same God that created the Pleiades and the universe and the wonders of our universe is the one that gives us the answer to our health ailments. They're known as the eight laws of health, which we heard about and the kids covered with Belinda earlier on today. Nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, air, rest, trust in God. They are the laws that God has given us, friends, and we've had many discussions on these laws where we've covered them in great depth. And for most of you, you're well acquainted with these laws. Friends, turn with me to Mark chapter 5, verse 27. Mark chapter 5, verse 27, where we find the story of the woman with the flow of blood. Because these are the laws, friends, that God has given us and what we must place our faith in when it comes to healing. Mark chapter 5, reading from verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in and pressed behind and touched his garments. It's talking about the lady with the flow of blood that she had suffered for so long, and she'd heard of Jesus, and she went to touch his garment. For she said in verse 28, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. What faith. And then verse 29, and straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And then just skip down to me with verse 34. Have a look at verse 34, where Jesus says unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. If I can only touch his clothes, I will be healed. And the message that we're given today is, if you will only follow the laws of my health, God will point you to a simple remedy. And in faith, believe and act. Friends, this lady believed by faith and she acted. She reached forth and she touched Jesus. And it's no different today. We must reach forth and touch Jesus with the knowledge, with the wisdom that he's given us. The laws that we're given, biblical laws, nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, air, rest, and trusting God is what we need to reach out towards. What would have happened, do you think, if she hadn't believed, if she had just believed and not acted? She had faith and she believed, but what if she had not acted? But we're told that she did act, praise the Lord. And by faith she acted and she reached out forth to touch the garment of Jesus. Friends, Jesus is who we must turn to when we are sick. The cross of Jesus, friends, is the center of our health, and we need to make that the center of our health. The cross of Jesus shows us how Jesus had total and complete faith in his Father to endure the hardship. He showed us and was an example of faith and acting faith, moving faith to endure the sin of this world on the cross. Friends, you can see the cross in all aspects of life. Turn with me to Colossians. Let's have a look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1. Small book that's always a bit tricky to find in the New Testament. Ephesians, Corinthians, Galatians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. And we read, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." All things were created, both on heaven and on earth. Now, friends, we saw that 440 light years away, we found the Pleiades. 440 light years away. Travelling, if we were able to travel at the speed of light, where in 1 year we would only cover 9.4 trillion kilometres, I want you to try now thinking about 37 million light years away. So that would be 37 million light years, travelling at 300,000 kilometres per second. How far that actually is. That's a long way. And the Hubble telescope took photos of a galaxy that you see on the screen called the Whirlpool Galaxy. It's a beautiful galaxy that they call the darling of astronomy. Now, can you see the bright center core of the galaxy there? A few scientists got together and decided to point the Hubble telescope, and they wondered, let's zoom in on this centerpiece here, the core of this beautiful galaxy, the darling of astronomy. And let's see what we can find out about that light in the middle, in the core of the galaxy. The picture that came back stunned the scientists and the world when the photos were released. Because right in the very center of the darling of astronomy, they found an image of Jesus on the cross. Friends, is it an accident that right in the very heart of this beautiful galaxy, 37 million light years away, we find the cross? Look at what the psalmist says in Psalms 97, verse 6. It's just one beautiful example. Psalms 97, verse 6, that we see there in the Whirlpool Galaxy, of the greatness of God. It wouldn't surprise me if they kept looking into Kura galaxies whether they'd find more crosses. Psalms 97, verse 6 reads, "The heavens proclaim, the heavens declare his righteousness. All the people see his glory." Who sees his glory, friends? All the people see his glory. And friends, it doesn't matter whether we're looking at the beautiful and wonderful creations of God in the heavens, in space, in the beautiful celestial creations that he's created that we can see in space, that we find that the beauty of the cross does not stop there. Friends, we read in Colossians 1, chapter 16, we read, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth." We read both visible and invisible. And friends, I just want to share with you one more thing that shows us how wonderfully we are made, that it's not just in the galaxies, it's not just in the heavens that we find the presence of God or evidence of God, that we find evidence of the cross. But we can also find the stamp of God in many places within our bodies, friends. I just want to share with you, and I want you to have a look at, just for a moment, just have a look at your bodies and just think about your bodies. Take a look at yourselves and consider who made you, how wonderfully you made, how beautifully you made. Every living creature, friends, in its body has a protein that's called laminin. And the purpose of laminin, the purpose of this protein, is to keep our cells together, to keep our bodies from falling apart. It's kind of like the glue that holds our cells together. So laminin is a critical part of our bodies. Now, we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." Now, if you've still got your finger there on Colossians chapter 1, I just want to continue reading that verse, verse 17. So we read 16. Have a look at what verse 17 says. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. "And he is before all things, and in him all things stick together or hold together." What do all things do in him? They stick, they hold. "And in him all things stick together." Friends, I've mentioned to you laminin, the very structure that holds your body together, the very protein that God created in our bodies to keep us together. Under the microscope, looks like this. I mean, how great is our God? The very structure that holds your body together is in the shape of a cross. Praise the Lord. I mean, how great is our God? And in all things, and in him, all things hold together. I mean, I look at that and I just think, that is awesome. The actual protein, there's a shot of it down there, and it's in the shape of a cross. And I think our friends, our God is just so awesome. He's so huge. And when you really start to study at how much detail he puts in what he's created, in our bodies, how he's created it, you find that you can trust God, friends, because there's a cross standing in history. It's the place where the star breather became the sin bearer, and where the universe maker became mankind's saviour. So friends, when you find yourselves suffering from illness or sickness, all you need to do is run to your saviour. Run to the cross. The same God you find salvation in is the same God you find healing in. We need to run to our maker when we are physically or spiritually ill. He will keep us together. When you're sick, Jesus is not someone you run from. He's someone you run to. Friends, is there anybody here today that is sick, that is ill? Is there anybody here today that is looking for spiritual or for physical healing? Because if you are, I want to invite you to stand with me today because I want to pray for you. If you've come here this morning and you're struggling in your health or in your spiritual life, I want to invite you to stand with me so I can pray for you. Because friends, the same God that created this body is the one that can heal this body. The same God who created the universe and all the celestial creations that we see in our universe created us and can heal us. Friends, maybe you're suffering from the illness or the sickness of this world. Maybe you're finding that this world is just too much, that you can't cope. You're finding that the temptations of this world, the temptations of this life, we're bombarded constantly by food that we really shouldn't be eating. Food that's full of sugar. If you want to know what sugar does for you, prepare to get cancer because sugar feeds cancer. Friends, but we're bombarded. We're told every day as we watch TV, as we go to the movies, the magazines we read, the papers we read, we're bombarded every day with advertisements, with material saying, go ahead, eat it. It's not going to hurt you. But friends, it's a lie of the devil. Just like when we go back to Genesis, it's a lie of the devil. Eat of the fruit, Eve. You will not surely die. And friends, we're all sick in one way or another, spiritually or physically. And if there's anybody here that would like to say, Lord, I'm sick. I need you. I'm sick. I want to run to you because I need prayer. I need you, Lord. We see that the cross is where we need to run to. The cross is where we need to turn to when we're sick. So I invite anybody that's sick, if you're ill and you feel that you need prayer, I'd like to pray with you this morning. I invite you to stand. You know, God tells us to take up our cross and follow Him. And it's something that we wrestle with a lot, because when we take up our cross, it means we have to deny self. It means that we have to be put out of our comfort zone. It means that we have to run to God. And running to God is not easy. And it's something that I've found in my own life. Running to God is not something that is easy to do. Wide is the path to destruction. Narrow is the road to salvation, is the counsel that we're given in the Bible. And friends, I just want to pray with you this morning. Praise the Lord for those that have stood up today. Just before I close, I just want to ask, is there anybody else that's sick? Is there anybody else that wants to stand for Jesus and say, Lord, I'm spiritually sick. I need you. I want to run to you. I need you this morning. I've seen how the prayer of faith, the fervent prayer of faith, when prayed for sickness, will heal the sick, Lord. And I want to claim that promise this morning. So if there's anybody here, anybody else, before we close, that wants to claim that promise of God for healing, I invite you to stand just before we pray. Praise the Lord. Just bow your heads with me this morning. Heavenly Father, wonderful God, Father, only when we go back to heaven, only when you come back for us, will we really, truly understand the wonders of your creation, and only then will it really sink in that the mighty God that created all this, created our bodies, and He's the same God that can heal our bodies. Father, you can see all those that have stood this morning. Father, I pray for healing. We claim your promise, Lord, that the fervent prayer of those that are ill, Lord, will be heard. Father, you've promised, and we claim that promise. I pray a blessing on everybody here this morning, Lord, and those that are standing. I pray, Father, you know what they're suffering from. I pray that you heal them, Lord. We claim the promise that you heal them, whether it be spiritually or physically, Lord. You know each and everybody's heart, Lord, and we claim these prayers, for you are our God and we love you so much. And we wait upon that day, Father, when you will return. And we long for those words to hear. O good and faithful servant, enter into the glory of the kingdom. And Lord, we know that you want to heal us. We pray that the message of today, Lord, the laws that you've given us, that you put a love in our hearts to learn more about them, because we need to not only apply them in our lives, Lord, but you've commissioned us to teach these laws to lost people, Father, to those that are out there, because you spent more time healing than you did preaching, Father, and we are to follow your example through the light and the guidance that you've given us. We pray this in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus. Amen.